the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 147. My name is Derek, and as always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy your crap that way. Kicks a little bit of money back to us, helps us put the podcast on. With me today, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, man? How's your Tuesday going?
I guess it's fine. Pretty much nothing going on, so.
Have you guys got the crazy rain up there?
No.
Oh, it's been flooding here like crazy, so.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's rained for the past, I guess, 2.5 days, and yeah, it's just part of downtown's been flooded. It's been interesting. So.
We had a ton of rain like last week, I'm gonna say it was. Like it's thunderstorm for like 4 or 5 days straight, but we haven't since then, so. Now that must be all. I mean, there's a hurricane coming into the Carolinas, but that's not even this. So
yeah,
you probably have even more rain coming.
Yeah, we have. Well, we just have all this flooding here now, and yeah, if that comes through and comes up through Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, it's going to be even more rain. So it's going to be really interesting. So
yeah.
So yeah, raining and stuff is good because you don't want to be outside.
Right,
so it gives
right.
you a lot more time to play video games and be on your computer and do all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, the good news is all your stuff works inside. So
yeah, exactly. So talking about that, let's jump into our reviews this week. And to start things off, I finally completed my review of the AMD Ryzen 5 2600X. So that's the flagship Ryzen 5 processor. And this is a 6-core, 12-thread part. For $225, did you think that we would be at this this race of cores is just so awesome for us consumers, because you are getting again a 6-core 12-thread part fully unlocked and all of that fun stuff for $225, and it comes with a cooling solution. I mean, talk about
that's basically dirt cheap compared to the Intel lifestyle we were all running.
I know, for years, right? There. Yeah. So, this is a continuation or the successor to the 1600X, and you're getting a little bit improvement, right around 10-15% improvement because of the increased clocks and everything like that. Kind of what you expected. That's what second generation Ryzen is, what you are expecting. If you use a newer motherboard, like an X470 or B450, you're going to get Precision Boost 2 and XFR 2, which allows the processor to boost higher depending on your cooling setup. But overall, this is a solid chip. It's a really solid processor. And I think if you were on the fence with first generation Ryzen, we talked about this with our 2700X review. If you were on the fence, there was a lot of issues. The motherboards, I would say, were not as polished as they are now. They're completely polished. The ecosystem's really, really good. If you're looking to buy a gaming or to build a gaming system now, this processor, based on its price, is great for anybody who wants to spend the extra money on that graphics card, which, we'll be having new graphics cards launching soon. I think this is a solid choice. It's a really good processor.
It's a great spot to save yourself about $100.
Yeah, $100. And you're not going to... I mean, 6-core 12-thread is going to do a lot for you.
Yeah, it's going to do plenty.
Yeah, the biggest thing, one thing we do want to point out, in single-core performance and gaming performance, this doesn't beat the Intel part. But if you're solely gaming, that's all you care about is gaming, the Intel part is $199, so it's a little bit cheaper. But this is going to serve you so much better.
What are you comparing this against, I guess?
The i5-8400, okay. Which does better. It tested better in our gaming test for the most part. But this part is going to serve you so much more. It's a more well-rounded part. So if you are gaming and you want to do streaming at the same time, this part's going to do better for you, and all that kind of stuff. But I just think that it's an incredible value for what you're getting. And again, it does come with a cooling solution too. While you might not keep that cooling solution, if you're in between paychecks and you don't have enough for, like a higher end CPU cooler and AIO, you know, you can wait till you get paid and you can still have the processor and have your build all done with this, which is
going.
Yeah. So I just think AMD has really done a great job. They've been really aggressive with their pricing and their value, including the cooling solution with it. So it's just a good part. And we do now we do have the B450 line of motherboards. And if you're running a single graphics card, you don't need a ton of USB ports. That's a solid route to go instead of the X47. You're going to save even more money there. So just the ecosystem is really good right now. You can build a really nice system for pretty low cost when it comes to Ryzen. So, yeah, I really like this part.
Nice.
You know, it's just a good part and one I would totally recommend. So definitely check out that review. It's a fun ecosystem and it's a good part to, you know, especially for gaming. I really think this is like the gamers, parts right now, especially in its price point. So
sweet.
So yeah,
yeah, look, it's like a solidly priced, solidly performing part for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good in that aspect. So definitely, check that out. You, talking about cooling, you took a look at Cooler Master's Master Liquid ML360R RGB, which is the
longest name ever. Oh, you don't even got to tell me.
Yeah. Which is Cooler Master's newer 360mm radiator-based AIO. You can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first of all, they got to work on their naming scheme. just give me a break, man. I got to type this stuff out. Yeah, so it's their first shot at a 360mm radiator equipped AIO. I was pretty excited to see this. I really like the trend that we're moving towards seeing more of these 360 rad AIOs because I just love the big rads, you know, you have to. And generally, that it means more performance, so it's just better things all around. And then the other thing is this comes with the new lighting system from MSI, which includes three addressable ARGB fans as well as ARGBs within the pump housing as well. So they kind of took their old dual chamber pump design from last year and they redesigned it with the ARGBs, and it's got a little bit of a glossier look to it now, too. I think it's much better than last year's design, which was just blue backlit. So big improvement there. And the biggest thing, the nicest thing about this, I think, is that, and we said this with Corsair, for example, that they got the RGBs on the pump, but they don't have the fans, and so it really kind of like takes away I guess the pump, it just doesn't do much, right, as far as lighting your case. But you get three fans in the top of your case and this thing lights right up. It looks fantastic. You pair that with lighting control, which is Cooler Master's new lighting software, and which covers you just like down every, you know, aisle that you go with it. It's just, it's a fully well-rounded program for just the lighting control, and it also works with Mystic Light and what are the others?
The Aura Sync.
Aura Sync and
ASRock LED something. I forget what they're all called, but yeah.
Yeah. So you can sync these right up with that. With that, of course, with the RGBs comes quite a bit more complexity in the installation, actually. It's like two separate installs for this.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, you install you do a pretty standard and well-rounded AIO install. Cooler Master has a pretty efficient system at this point for their installation, for as far as the hardware goes and the brackets and everything. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, and then you throw on the all the wiring for all your RGBs, which it's the whole thing. It comes with that control box if you click through and see, which is actually something you can buy separately. It's an ARGB control box. Provides all the power and all the control. You actually don't need software. It'll cycle through a handful of modes. So that's nice if you're not going to be able to, if you don't want to run the software. And it's nice because it provides a nice simple hub and it doesn't take up any of your headers if you were going to do that on the motherboard. And they include absolutely everything as far as wiring goes. Just tons of hardware with this thing. So nice. You're good to go, and you're good to expand too. There's plenty of more spots to more headers to add more RGB devices as well, and run everything right through that lighting control software. build your profiles and stuff. As far as performance, so we thought getting the 360 Rad that we would see a pretty, I thought we would see a pretty highly performing part, and we ended up, it's pretty much dead middle, slightly higher than middle, and it's, as far as the 360 Rad equipped AIOs that we've done, it's towards, it's, I want to say it's almost last. So
yeah, do you think it has a lot to do with the fans? I know that the fans are obviously, I just think that when we see RGB fans, they're not specifically made for,
well, they don't, for AIO AF cooling. Performance isn't necessarily in the forefront. Let me click back to the, I didn't think so. Let me get back to the specs page, see what they have for static pressure. Well, actually, now that you mentioned, I think there it is kind of low. Yeah, it's only, yeah, it's 2.34 at its highest, which it's not a thick radiator, so like that's not necessarily the worst thing. But you probably, it would benefit from more static pressure. It, yeah, it's a middle. What are the, these are the, I forget which fans, what fans they call these. I think they're ABs or something like that. But
okay,
it's the middle of the ground, middle of the road fan. So it's a mix between, airflow and air pressure, and I think they probably should have just gone for air pressure with this. Yeah. But I mean, I crank these things up to, because the fans are not controlled through software, so that's another disappointing thing. Is
that is a little disappointing.
You can't mess with that at all. But so I did. I ran them straight to a fan hub, so they're full power all the way up to 2,000 RPM or so. And it made zero difference in testing. So I tried both ways. We actually tried a second unit from them because they expected it to perform better, and it was identical. That's so crazy.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that we see is that there's a lot of companies, you know, ARGB or addressable RGB is pretty new. And there's mm-hmm. seen companies where, like, obviously the fans get developed first just for fan. Like, they're not... These fans aren't specifically developed, I don't think, for AIO cooling. They're just to be the ARGB fans.
Yeah, you can buy these fans, yeah.
Yeah, so we've seen this, and this is why I think Corsair is hesitant to do it, is because if you're just going to put an RGB fan that's just made for case cooling, not AIO cooling, onto the radiator, your performance is going to be lackluster, which this is. I feel that, you know...
It depends on how you modify the fan for the lighting. You can easily do it. You can have your cake and eat it too in this situation.
Okay.
You just have to engineer that fan correctly.
Gotcha. So I guess what we would say is this is awesome with the lighting. I think the lighting
it's super cool setup. It really is. The price is a little high. I thought it's is it just in the 200? Yeah, 229. Yeah. That's really high for an AIO, actually.
I think when you do get into addressable RGB, which we'll talk about it in the next review as well, your prices, I mean, just addressable RGB fans, I think, are $30 to $40 each just for the fan.
Right. And it's got the controller.
Yeah, and like usually that control box itself, just the box, I know the Corsair one is like $50, just the box.
Yeah, this is right in that range.
I
think it's a good value. It's just, it is expensive.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah.
For $230, you can easily get a pre-configured complete custom water cooling kit, right? I guess complete custom would be wrong, but pre-configured water cooling kit. So it's just, that doesn't, it's hard to, as a cooling part, it's hard to justify the cost. But if ARGB is something you want, or just RGB in general, then, you know, it's got a place.
Yeah, and if you're, like, kind of in that Cooler Master ecosystem with, you know, that you maybe you have some of these ARGB fans already, and you can use them all through the controller or what have you.
Right.
You know, because it is so annoying to use three different pieces of software for three RGB things in your system. That's very annoying.
Let alone try to get them synced together.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it looks like a really cool part. Hopefully, when we see, you know, we are going to see a revision of this because that's just how we've seen. It seems like the AIO revisions are becoming more frequent too. We're seeing a lot once a year. So I think the next revision, hopefully we see a performance boost in this, whether it's through a different pump design, whether it's through different fans, what have you.
I don't think that pump design is strong. I don't think it flushes the hot water out of it quickly enough. I think that's part of the problem.
Gotcha. So, but definitely I would say check out this review. We have a video in there that shows you all the ARGB effects and stuff too. So definitely check that out.
That software is sweet. That's definitely worth
they initially showed us that software at CES in January, and it's September. And is it still like in beta, or is it actually like a full release?
I think it's full release now. It's clunky-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
It works. It's not polished, I guess. It works, but like I wouldn't have laid some of the things out the way they did. For instance, it configures gives you a visual configuration of the product that you've hooked up. And it automatically does that, or you can do it, but like it doesn't have the 360 red in there, so like it kind of just adds a fan onto the side of it for
I think that the software when it comes to these things is a big deal. There's only a few companies that have addressable RGB software, Corsair being one of the ones that I know. Mm-hmm. And NZXT as well, I think Razer does, but I haven't messed with it because I know they released those RGB strips that are addressable. So software is a big thing, and if it's at least you at least like it and it's workable, I think that's a step in the right direction, especially for Cooler Master. Mm-hmm. Because they are a big player in the RGB game when it comes to their gaming accessories as well as everything else. So that's definitely a step in the right direction. But I just wish that, I think we both wish that the performance was a little bit better on this.
That's absolutely the thing we were.
Yeah. But it's definitely a step in the right direction. And you have this thing in your system and you're just looking at it and I'm sure it looks awesome.
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check out Derek's review. Nice lengthy review. And then talking about adding lighting to your case or something like that, I took a look at the Reven Twila RGB LED strips. They have a kit of two strips, and this is the no-nonsense RGB strip. Not addressable, nothing like that. These strips are $15.99, which you really can't complain with. I mean, it's fairly cheap. And one thing I really like about these is, you think every RGB strip's the same or something like that, but with these, what you get is two RGB strips, but they have magnets in the strip. So as long as you don't have an all aluminum case, if you have just a steel case, which I would say 85 to 90% of us have, you don't have to use the a lot of these RGB strips have like adhesive on the back or something like that, which I have used that. And over time it just fails.
Absolutely.
So having the magnets in there, just allows you to easily mount these, super easy to mount. And on top of that, if you change cases, you don't have to like basically rip them off and rip that adhesive off. And it's just so much easier. So with this kit, like I said, it's a no-nonsense RGB kit. It works with all of the major motherboard software, Asus Aura Sync, MSI Mystic Light, Gigabyte RGB Fusion, and ASRock RGB LED. I assume it would still work with like a typical 4-pin connection too. Most of those that you, in order to get the emblem, you have to be certified. So that's kind of what that's about. But I think it would work with any 4-pin RGB connection. If you have a separate controller, like the ARGB one, it would probably work in some form. And if you have like a BioStar or like an EVGA motherboard, I assume it would work. We didn't test it, but these are just two strips. They connect via 4-pin, and that's pretty much it. They're just a simple RGB strip that works.
Is it just the three colors?
No, I mean, you can...
Just red, green, blue? No.
I mean, no, you can go into the software. That's just what they have, but I mean, you can make these any color that you want.
I was wondering.
Yeah, through your motherboard software, and you can do whatever your motherboard software supports is what these can do. But again, you can't do addressable anything. So the way the biggest way to explain these is that you can't have one part of the strip one color and another part of the strip another color.
Right.
The entire strip has to be the same color. You can cycle colors. You can do, and basically you can cycle colors and all that kind of stuff. So this is great for somebody, I think, that doesn't want to get into the, doesn't want to spend the money on the addressable RGB strips. The NZXT ones, the older ones, the Hue Plus, I think they start at $59.99 for the controller and the strips. And their Hue 2 is even more expensive than that. Huh. The Razer ones are just as expensive, I believe. I don't know, even know if Corsair makes some. But this just gives you, you know, if you have some, you know, RGB fans that you can make a certain color, maybe some RGB memory that you can make a certain color, and you don't want that... what is that effect called with the rainbow effect? If you don't want something like that, you just want to light up the inside of your case, this is great. Mm-hmm. You know, two strips will give you pretty solid coverage. I would say I would recommend four strips total, so two of these kits. So you're spending like $30, $35. But it's just a simple kit and it works. And I really like the magnets. It just makes installation simple.
Yeah, that's great. It's also great that it's two separate decent sized strips, not one large strip that you have to curve and convert, you know, contort around on the inside of the edges of
your case. Yeah, so that's really nice. And each of the strips have connectors so you can daisy chain them together. Nice. And for just to give reference, each strip, I don't know the exact length, I didn't look them up, but basically in a normal size case, which we installed this in, like a basic mid tower, one strip will go the length of the top or bottom, and the other strip will go the length of the sides. So we installed one on the bottom, one on the back, and it just did great lighting for our system. So
nice.
Like I said, I really can't complain about these. The price is good. They're, you know, they work with all the software. We had no issues, and the magnets just make installation a breeze. So yeah, definitely check those out. The only real downside is if you have some motherboard or you have an older system that doesn't have the 4-pin, then you can't control them at all. But I don't think you would be looking at this kit then. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'd be looking at some other type of lighting solution. So,
yep.
So definitely check out that review. And that brings us to one of our funnier posts do each month. Is our 20 worst PC setups from the previous month. We go out and we find some of these, and a lot of these are submitted as well. And it's just to show people who have bad PC setups. Maybe they're just they don't have money for a nice setup, or they're in the middle of moving, or they just don't know how to take care of themselves. Some of these are pretty bad. I've been in the situation where I've been moving, and I've had to set up my system on a you know, cardboard box or some of that, you know, so yeah, some of these are pretty bad. Definitely check out the article, because it's really funny, and it makes you feel a little bit better about your PC setup, I think. So
it makes you feel better about being a nice, clean human being.
Yeah, that too.
There's some of them are like, you feel a little bad, you're like, oh, they're just in a bad situation, or maybe they're like a college student or they're young, but like some of them are just trash.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I feel for the guy using the look through desktop.
Oh,
those
things
were the worst idea.
I don't know.
He still got that jack CRT in there too.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. So some of them are pretty bad, but yeah, definitely. Just check out the post. It's really funny and gives you like I said, for me, it just makes me feel better. But it also shows you, like, people will do anything to get on their PCs, PC Master Race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants to either get in the game or get on their forums or watch, you know, some type of video content. So, very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we have Case Mod Friday this week. And we have I would just say this is just clean. This is a very clean build from Songay Custom, who I think we featured a couple weeks ago. He's been pumping out these builds, and I believe this is a custom case that he put together himself, just from the looks of it. I don't know if it's a specific company that did this, but I think he just CNC'd this or got this CNC'd himself.
It's hard to say because there's some really familiar-looking lines.
Yeah.
Nothing on the inside of it says off the shelf. He's only got one slot for the GPU bracket. So
yeah, I mean, that's he has the layout of the parts. So again, I think that he just got this stuff CNC'd, or he CNC'd it himself. Yeah. It just solid. Cool. I believe that's aluminum that he has it made out of, just a completely solid build. Pretty simple, single graphics card, dual radiator. It looks like a 360 in the top and a 240 in, or it might be a, probably a 240 in the bottom. I like the lines with the hard tubing. I think that's pretty cool.
It's clean.
Very, very clean.
I like the PSU shroud slash, oh no, the pump's in the center. Yeah, the PSU shroud is pretty neat too, that it's vertical and in the front of the case.
Yeah, and there's no shots of the back, but that's where he wraps all the cables, because you can hardly see any cables in this as well.
Yeah.
We
don't really worry about that with these, but if he's building this as like a custom like order piece, airflow is probably not the best, because he's actually probably got negative airflow or negative pressure because he's trying to pull more out than he's pulling in. But still, it's a nice. I mean, that gives it a clean look, though.
Yeah.
As far as a custom build goes.
Yeah. So very, very cool. Definitely check this one out. It's just like clean. I think I'm a bigger fan of clean cases than the ones that are kind of all over the place.
Than the all out.
And he does have those. I just noticed that he does have those ADATA. Are they? Yeah, they're ADATA. The XPG. Memory with the cool with the water.
Oh, the coolant.
It's
right.
It is. Yeah, he has D80. Yeah, the D80 Spectrix in there, which are cool. Just to say you have them, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely check out this build. And if you're not a fan of this one, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds that just show off, you know, what's going on in the community and what people are building and what, you know, kind of crazy things people are coming up with. So definitely check it out. And that brings us to news this week. And to start things off, story came out, or just information came out, that NVIDIA won't be axing their 10 series graphics cards. So, you know, GTX 1070, 1080, 1080 Ti. They're not initially, as soon as the RTX cards launch, they're not going to be axing those. They'll still be sold, and it's not just like partner cards. Like, they'll still sell their own cards probably through Q1 of 2019.
Is this just the low end RTX cards this year, then, this time around? We're not going to see like a 2060.
We should see a 2060, but that would probably be towards the end of Q1
once they sold out all the 1080s.
Yeah, so basically, the big reason, I think, is that NVIDIA has a huge cache of unsold inventory.
Yeah.
Because they built a lot of cards when the cryptocurrency craze was going on, because they were selling out like crazy. I'm sure you remember the price gouging on cards that we went through.
Terrible.
And the availability of cards and all that kind of stuff. So obviously they built more because they thought the demand would be there. And as the price of cryptocurrency has gone down, and GPU accelerated cryptocurrency has just flattened, I would say nobody's buying these cards anymore.
Very, very quick change.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons they're going to continue to sell these. One of the good things that might come out of this is that hopefully NVIDIA will drop these prices on these cards. So if you're looking for a solid 1080p or a solid 1440p card at, you know, 144 hertz, you know, something like that, you should be able to get a 10 series card for a decent price, you would think.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I also know NVIDIA and know that they don't care.
Yeah,
I mean, they've got the pricing jacked so high, or the expected pricing jacked so high in the 20 series, that it wouldn't surprise me if prices don't really budge on these. I've heard that the used market on like 1080 Ti's is pretty good right now.
Okay.
And probably due to drop as well. So, you know, honestly, it's if you're a budget shopper right now, used might be the place to look, really.
Yeah, and I think too, as I said, for those resolutions, 1080p, 1440p, when I tested, even when I tested the 240 hertz gaming display and 144 mm-hmm. hertz gaming displays that I've tested over this past year, I mean, I have a 1080 Ti. It does that perfectly. And if that's what you're shooting for, because again, going 4K 144 hertz, which those displays aren't really working correctly anyways right now, right. You're going into a whole different price range when it comes to just the display itself.
Yeah, and the whole thing is just, yeah, it's the
yeah. Reasonable. Yeah, so, I mean...
You're probably going high-end desktop as well, so...
Yeah, oh yeah. So yeah, I think that this could be a good thing for consumers as far as pricing, but... So yeah, you'll see this kind of mix of cards from NVIDIA. Everything's still being sold and available after the RTX series launches officially. So
yeah. It's cool and weird. So
we'll see how
this all goes. It's all new territory now. Like, we used to be able to like make pretty solid predictions about the way things were going to go, releases, counter releases, etc. Now it's just like, well, now NVIDIA is going to do this new thing. We'll just see how that works out for us in our wallets.
Yeah, I honestly, I think they're going to kill out that inventory, and then the 2060, which is supposed to be the sweet spot in this series, not the 2070, which usually is the sweet spot. The 2060 will come out end of Q1 when they've sold all that inventory. So,
you think we'll have 1080 level performance out of the 2060?
I would think.
Okay.
Yeah. So talking about these new cards, EVGA, when NVIDIA initially made the announcement, EVGA released a bunch of information on their cards, but they left out one of the most popular, especially for enthusiasts, is their Hydro Copper line. I've been a huge fan of the Hydro Copper line for a while. And this past week, they just announced what the Hydro Coppers will be and what they will look like. There's actually going to be two models. There's going to be a Hydro Copper for the Win 3 or FTW 3 and a Hydro Copper XC. Obviously, the For the Win 3 card will be the highest performing card. And I like the look of these. You're the big water cooling guy. So you tell me.
These are not getting a lot of love. The full Hydro Copper block is doing okay. It's okay. I've actually, honestly, I should probably take a step back and just say, I've not really been a fan of their box, so maybe my opinion doesn't count. I don't know. We'll see when these are renders, so yes. It's hard to see exactly the way the light is going to play and what's actually acrylic and see-through, but yeah, not a lot of love for the EVGA parts, though. As far as, like, I think the acrylic stuff they got going on is not doing the trick this time around.
Yeah. I like the look of these, but again, I mean, we have our opinions.
Well, how do you feel about like the hybrid and the actual
style? Like, no, not a fan.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and along with this announcement, they announced a hybrid version. So this will be in basically an AIO graphics card. That will come with an attached radiator. So if you know, these are going to be factory overclocked and all that kind of stuff, it will just give you the all-in-one solution. I think these ones are ugly. I'm not a fan of these at all. Yeah. I'm really not a fan of the hybrid card.
In general,
the only one who does it good, and it's not really considered a hybrid card, is the Asus Poseidon cards that have a fan, but if you want to do a custom loop to them, you can do it as well. I think those are done well, but they're not really an AIO solution. That's a hybrid solution that allows you to use it non-water cooled or custom water cooled. So, I think the blower is is ugly too, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I would rather have the NVIDIA Founders Edition one, the reference, than this. Yeah. So. But I do like the Hydro Coppers. Those are the ones I'm a fan of, out of these.
I could probably sign off on it if it wasn't for the little metalwork on the left-hand side and in the mesh. Like, mesh, come on.
Yeah, I think you're just trying to do something different.
It's distracting.
Yeah. But yeah, that, check these out. If you're thinking about, if you're a custom cooling guy and you're thinking about getting a RTX card, they'll be available in the 2080 and 2080 Ti. I gotta get like all these different numbers keep on messing me up here. But yeah,
I would. They will be expensive. That is one thing about
these
EVGA block pre-installed cards, the Hydro cards.
Yeah, and
they're extra expensive.
I couldn't find information on if a third party is making the block.
It's SwiftTech for sure.
Okay.
The extra wide spacing on the ports is just dead giveaway for SwiftTech.
Gotcha.
And so they've made all of the past blocks. So.
Okay. Usually companies, I know Gigabyte does it, will kind of give like a little, allow them to put their logo on here.
Yeah, and maybe it's somewhere we just don't see it in the
render. And typically, when you announce, you're like, "Oh, our block's made by EK," because like you would want people to know that. I would think.
Yeah, I don't think they ever do though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, EVGA is a kind of different beast.
They totally are.
Yeah. So also talking about these RTX cards is that it appears that the actual official review. So we really haven't seen any. Even leaked reviews, we've seen a couple, but nothing really definitive, is that the official date was supposed to be September 17th. It's moved back to the 19th for the RTX 2080. And that's also the same NDA date for the RTX 2080 Ti. So you should see both reviews dropping that day instead of, little segment, which is, at being a reviewer, a little segment helps you because you have time to get both done. The main reason for this, it looks like a lot of reviewers haven't even got their cards yet, or the drivers aren't ready yet. this happens
a week out. So.
Yeah, this happens a lot. Sadly, being a reviewer, I know this. And just reading this just makes me cringe because I've had times where I've been up the night before, still finishing testing on a product that I had to have the review done for the next day,
let alone writing and publishing.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So, and according to this report, only a handful of reviewers have even received their cards yet. And again, this is in 9 days. Just running the benchmarks on these is going to take a while. If you're working an 8-hour shift all day.
Yeah, and oftentimes it involves graphics card testing involves retesting. Because you're oftentimes gonna retest against the same driver.
Oh yeah. So yeah, and if you depending on your lineup of cards that you have access to, you should have been retesting already. But
yeah,
if they say okay, here's the new driver to like 5 days before, then you, if you're a good reviewer, you're gonna go back and retest against all of that. It's gonna be a mess. I think we'll see a lot of late reviews just based on. This information, being a reviewer, I just know how that goes. Yeah. Or we'll see a lot of incomplete reviews that aren't done on launch day. But being a business owner running a tech website, you want your review on launch day. So even if it's incomplete, you still kind of want it.
You want something up, yeah.
Yeah. So
what we might see in the retesting situation is they'll just say compared to previous launches.
Yeah.
And then they'll just use that old data. So. We might not. Yes. Might be something to actually keep an eye out for as you're reading reviews is what they're testing against. So
yeah. So definitely, when the launch initially happens, I would just give it a couple weeks to really dive. If this is something you really, and again, these are pricey, so this is something you're making an investment in. I would really wait a couple weeks to see all of the reviews that come out past launch date. That's my suggestion to you guys. So,
who's the smartest?
Yeah, for sure. So moving on to Intel stuff. The first review, which I don't know how they got this part and they broke NDA. But the first Intel Core i7-9700K review has been published by a Spanish tech publication. And it doesn't look... I mean, one, they don't have the previous... they do have the 8700K in there. Never mind. I thought I didn't see it. But, their testing is not they don't have a lot of current gen stuff. Like, they don't have a lot of first gen Ryzen. Like, usually we see a lot more in here, but they're only testing second gen stuff, so I guess it kind of makes sense. But I mean, they have an i7-6700K in there for some reason. And they don't have a 7700. You know what I mean?
It's just hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an odd selection of parts.
Yeah. So they tested this. And for those who don't know, this is the 8-core, 8-thread part from Intel. And based on these tests, it matches up pretty well against AMD's 8-core, 16-thread, 2700X. In a lot of the tests, when it comes to like Cinebench, which is a heavily, you know, the multi-threaded test, it falls behind the Ryzen parts. It also falls behind the Ryzen parts in W Prime, which again is multi-threaded. You know, in gaming, it beat. They do not have Handbrake. In gaming, it kicks ass almost in all of the game tests.
Yeah.
It probably will be touted as the best gaming chip in that in its price range, I would think.
Did we have leaked pricing?
No, but it should be. It should be on par with the 2700X or around that, which I believe is selling right now for. Let's see. It's selling for $322 on Amazon. Or sorry, $319 now on Amazon. So it'll
basically be in that top price range for the consumer product.
Yeah. What was interesting about the testing is it has 33% more cores, but it's not 33% more. It's not 33% faster than the i7-8700K. Obviously, this is probably due to no hyperthreading.
Yeah, but you have the same number of. You have actual cores.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. So
8700K was a 4x4, right?
It was a 6x12.
Oh, that was 6. Oh.
Yeah, 8700K was a 6. I thought
that was still the last 4. Okay.
No, yeah,
well, then that doesn't make... Oh, that makes sense then. I would say 33% faster. Cause, yeah, like you said, it doesn't have the hyperthreading. So
yeah.
It's actually under hyperthreading. If it's correctly... coded, it's missing.
You know what I'm waiting for is for somebody to like cores. Break the you know, when these come out, to somebody to somehow enable hyperthreading on these chips with some type of BIOS hack or something.
That would be funny if that was
yeah. But yeah, so this kind of gives you a good idea. Again, this is pre-release, so don't make your buying decision based on this. If this is something that you're looking at. But yeah, it gives you a good idea of performance in this part.
I like the idea of this part a lot, actually, without hyperthreading, especially for enthusiasts for overclocking and stuff like that. Just having fun with it, I feel like it's a cool part for that.
Yeah, I think
it's just an 8-core part.
Like, yeah,
it's just simple. You don't gotta like wonder whether you should shut off hyperthreading or see what you can do. You just got 8 cores and you just go with it.
Yeah, I do like that. And these, I believe this one and the i9, which is the one that does have the hyperthreading, they will have the soldered TIM on there too. So, so that's a plus on these. So I'm excited for this. This is really Intel's way to fire back at Ryzen second gen. And we'll have to see in the testing and everything how these go. So. Yeah,
definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah. Also, on the Intel side of things, a Core i5-9600K popped up on the Geekbench results. And this is this is...
6-core?
Yeah, I believe this is a 6-core. Yeah, so 6-core. I think this is 6-core, 6-thread part. Yeah. And it's only over the previous i5, it is only 3.7% faster, which is pretty dismal when you think about it. Typically, we see at least 5 to 10% when we see these incremental updates. But I think the big thing is that Intel is just stuck on this 14 nanometer node. They're just stuck. They can't get down to 10 or even 12 with their processors. The yields aren't good enough, you know.
Yeah, having a terrible time.
Yeah. And in the multi-core test is only 2% faster than the previous gen.
Don't bother with this.
Yeah, so it's just, I just think, again, I mean, we're on 14 nanometer. I think it's plus on this. Yeah. It's just,
yeah.
There's only so many
more gains to be pulled out of the size.
Yeah.
Out of the die shrink.
I just think that Intel is just stuck on this, and I think we'll see a nice big improvement. And I think they needed it now because AMD's just rocking here, and Intel you can't get much more out of these. I think that, you know, if you're looking to upgrade, it's not even remotely close to being worth it. And I think that people are just going to wait for the next node if they're really thinking about getting an Intel part. I would, in my opinion.
I think it depends largely on what you're rocking right now. The 9900K seems really cool.
Yeah.
And as we just said, I really do like the idea of that 9700K too, but its pricing is going to be very important on it, which we know it probably won't be great. So.
Yeah. So we'll see on pricing. But again, this gives you an idea. Wait for official reviews and more leaked results to come out, which I assume they will. Yeah.
I think they still have the slight edge on the board side.
So yes.
They still have that going for them. There's a ton more options still, for one thing.
Yeah. I do think, as I talked about with the review of the 25 or the 2600X, that the AMD boards are very well refined this time.
They're close.
Yeah. So... But I think, as especially when we get into the next generation, that we'll see, you know, the Zen 2 generation of parts.
I think Zen 2 might be the thing to get, honestly.
Yeah.
If Intel doesn't, like, find themselves on the sabbatical they're taking, they're going to be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, and I believe Zen 2 will be 7 nanometer. I could be wrong in that, but I believe it will be, so... Yeah, so, but talking about AMD here, they released two more Ryzen parts this week. These are quad-core parts. They released the Ryzen 5 2500X, which is a 4-core, 8-thread part. It has a clock speed of 3.6 gigahertz and boosts up to 4 gigahertz. And then they have a Ryzen 3 2300X, which is a 4-core, 4-thread part. 3.5 gigahertz boost up to 4 gigahertz. I really like these 4 gigahertz lower end parts. And these should be priced aggressively to compete against Intel parts. I'm not sure if they come with a cooling solution, but if they do, that would bring even more value to these.
I'd rather see a lower price point starting, but as a lower end part, they'll probably go with the included cooler just simply because that's the demographic, I think, that expects that.
Yeah, and then on top of this, they announced this new E brand extension to some of their parts, and it's something you might be interested in. They have a new Ryzen 5 2600E and a Ryzen 7 2700E, and these they sacrifice clock speed for a 45 watt TDP. So instead of, these are normally 95 watt TDPs, I believe. So you're cutting that almost in half. Or you're cutting that in half for a much lower TDP. I think these could be really great parts for people who aren't really doing a whole lot, but maybe need a lot of cores for something.
It's a curious part.
Yeah, it's a very curious part.
I wonder how stable they are.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would love to get one of these to test out and just kind of see what they're all about, how the performance difference is compared to the other parts.
I mean, half is, that's a big, big drop in power draw.
Yeah.
The clock speeds are down some, you know, especially the base clock. The base clock is fairly low.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're running, if you've got all those cores though, if you're mainly working in things that are highly threaded, it's not going to notice it too much.
Yeah. So yeah, I think these launches are good. And one thing about the Ryzen 3 and the Ryzen 5 part is these are fully unlocked. We have seen on the Intel side, when you get down, that you lose a lot of stuff. But these are fully unlocked, which means you can overclock them. You know, you can do all that kind of stuff. There's no blocking on anything on these. So that is nice as well. So yeah, definitely, more options as you get down the line here. And again, just remember that like a year ago or yeah, basically, I mean, almost a year, a little bit over a year ago, we only had 4-core, 8-thread parts.
I was going to say, you know, 2500X would have been, actually, that Ryzen 5 2500X would have been a really competitive part. Like, really competitive.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. And now that is, like, entry-level.
Because if you remember, the Core i5 parts were 4-core, 4-thread. So like I said, if you can go back and forth of if you like AMD, if you like Intel, but just their competition is bringing so much value to us. So we're getting so many more cores, so much more performance, which enables games, you know, enables so much more for us as a consumer. So we talked about this, you know, when this all started happening, saying good that there's another competitor because we don't have this stagnation of we're getting the same thing with a 10% increase every time, like, you know. We're getting a lot of value here, so I really like that.
So
the big thing that happened this past weekend, and I you know, this will be my thing I did this week when it comes to talk about at the end of the podcast, is the Battlefield 5 open beta going on. I played a decent bit. Did you play? You're the big Battlefield player. Did you get in any games?
No, I didn't have that kind of weekend.
Well, I did like it. The graphics are really good. When I first got into playing it, it was interesting because I am so used to Battle Royale games. And
oh, really?
This was just a little different.
You struggle? I struggled initially. I bet you were terrible because you're not good at Battlefield games.
I was pretty good, but I really like the setting, like the World War II setting. It's been a while since we've had a good one. Yeah, I was a huge Day of Defeat player. Like, I loved that game, and this is really good in that respect. Again, the graphics are really good. It's just like one of those things that you kind of like wanted to have, like that Sunday. Like, it was raining here on Sunday, like that rainy Sunday. And you're just...
Oh, you had a good day.
Yeah, I had a good day playing. So, yeah, I think the game's going to do really well. The graphics are good. I didn't really mess around with a whole lot of graphic settings. I just kind of turned it on and played. But it's
Did you even look to see what it chose?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I assume with my system, it chose Ultra, you know.
Well, what resolution were you playing at?
1440.
Yeah, probably Ultra.
Yeah. That's the display I'm using right now. So yeah... I think it's going to be a good game. I think that you would like it. Just you're a Battlefield player. That was like the game you always played. So I don't know if you can still play it now, but I would just try to jump on for at least one game.
I can't remember how you have to find it. Don't you have to search a certain way?
No, it's just in Origin. If you open Origin, it should be in there.
I thought I saw somebody like had a guide on just how to get the beta.
I don't know. It should be. It's open beta. It's open to everybody. So it like, yeah, it just appears like, oh, I guess it's under recent games. But if you go to browse games, Battlefield 5. I don't know.
Five.
It just came up under my thing. So I'm not really sure. Yeah, let's see. I don't know if it's still going on. I can try to load it now.
Get the game?
No.
No, that's just pre-order.
Yeah, maybe if you just type in beta.
I saw this weird thing where you have to like,
do a certain thing. So it's gone. It's no longer available on Origin. Okay. So I guess it was just the weekend. The weekend was the open beta. You missed it. Yeah. But I would say, yeah, definitely it's going to be a good game. I know EA isn't the best at telling stories, but I did like the war stories in Battlefield 1. I did like it. It just like, it gave you context to the game, and there will be a single player in this. So I'm excited for that. I like... sometimes you just want to just sit down and play a game where you're not playing against somebody else and, you know, all the crap that goes along with that.
It lets you play at a more measured pace. Yes. Right? It lets you, like, sit there, you get your snack, you get your drink, you get to enjoy it, and you get to play your game.
And it brings you into a story. And I think that so many games were so focused, you know, you can see how big the Battle Royale games are. And the storylines of these games, which are based around an event, like, you know, this is based around World War II, like, the stories get lost. And we want to make money off multiplayer, which they have to do. But there's not many games that have really good storylines, so it's good that it's there. I'll play it. I'll get the game. I'll play it. So
I might have to install Battlefield 4 to brush up on my skills. I'm going in.
Well, you have to. What you should do is you bought Battlefield 1, didn't you? When it was on sale. Oh, you didn't.
Did I?
I thought you did. When they had that sale. But I would play that. Play the war stories, because this one continues from there. Which would be a cool thing to do, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't like Battlefield 1 a whole lot. I definitely didn't pay full price for it. No, I don't have it.
Yeah, I didn't. I got it when it was on sale, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So. But,
Exciting. Yes. November 19, I think it said.
Yeah.
So, getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So, there might be another open. Maybe not.
Their beta is less of a beta and more of an advertising day.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Yeah. So, that will bring us what we have going on next week. I am finishing up my review of the Toshiba OCZ RC100. This is their low cost, high performance, not super high performance, but this is pretty much to get you out of the SSD in hopefully, normal hard drive game. NVMe SSD, not super high performance, so you're getting 1600 megabytes a second read in 1.1 or 1100 megabytes a second write, so it's not super fast, but it's going to still be faster than a traditional SSD and much, much faster than a normal hard drive. And
that's a mini one, right?
Yeah, it's small. It's very, very small. Yeah. So I have that. And then I'll be looking at some RGB memory from Patriot. And these look amazing. This is their Viper. I don't know if they're calling them Viper Game. I don't know. If some of these companies are changing everything. But this is the Viper RGB. We have the white one. So it's a white heat spreader with the RGB thing there. And it's kind of like raised a little bit on each side. These look amazing. I'm just a huge fan of... Yeah. Of these. So we'll have that. And I'll be taking a look at another gaming chair from a company we've never heard of before called Sunmay. And I do believe this is like an OEM brand. But
it absolutely is.
But I wanted to see. So the reason why I told them I would do this is because we see gaming chairs range from probably the low end is 200 and the high end is 600 to 700 for a gaming chair. Yeah. And this is $164.
Yeah.
So how does this compare to some of the other ones that I've reviewed from bigger name companies? Are these all the same? Should you just get one like this spend that extra $100 to $200 on a better graphics card? Like, what is the happy medium? So that's why I'm kind of excited to tell you guys about this.
I mean, especially considering Amazon doesn't even have a review for it. So.
Yeah, there's no reviews on this on Amazon too. So I just thought it'd be a good way to kind of say, hey, don't buy this name brand one. They are all the same. Are they?
Yeah.
What are the differences? What is something to look for comparing them? This will be my fourth gaming chair. So I think I'm pretty well versed in these.
My guess, my prediction is that it doesn't stack up. I think you're gonna find the build quality lacking.
I would think
the fit and finish isn't gonna quite be there.
Yeah, so we'll see how this does. I'll let you guys know. But it's just it's not often we don't do like this kind of OEM stuff, which we get a lot of people asking us to do. But I thought this one was really good, a good way to see that, because when people looking up gaming chairs, especially if you're on Amazon, okay, what's the cheapest one? And we want to give you guys that information if it is actually worth the $164 or should you be paying $250 for a name brand one, you know?
Yeah. Is it something that you're going to pay $164 for today and then by next spring you're going to be spending the $300?
Yeah. So it's that, like I said, it's that's the reason we're doing this review, and I'm just excited to tell you guys the difference. I think that there's not enough of that. Most of, you know, major outlets don't do stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, give you guys the rundown on all this. So
it's good to have that information out there.
Yes, for sure. So that is what's coming up next week. Obviously I talked about playing a lot of Battlefield. That's kind of my thing. I don't think I've watched. Oh, I did watch. I finally watched the Solo, the Star Wars movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I finally watched it. I don't know how I didn't. Like, I planned on going to the theater, and it just didn't happen, and I just got too busy. So it came out on Blu-ray and all that stuff.
Oh, it did? Shame on me for not having that already. I didn't even realize it came on video.
Yeah, so, I liked it. One of the better movies I've seen this year. I haven't seen a whole ton of movies, so.
Sweet.
It's just good, you know?
It is. I agree.
Yeah.
Gotta rewatch that now.
Shoot. Yeah. So I liked it. I think it's so hard to play him, to play that character. I think that whoever the actor was did a good job. You can't. It's just so. You know what I mean.
He played a young Han Solo. A lot of people were looking for the same Han Solo, like an identical guy. Like, you must be the same, but like, no, he was playing a young Han Solo. When you're younger, you're not the same person yet.
Yeah. Exactly.
He did a good job.
But yeah, I liked it. It, like I said, people complain, oh, this isn't, you know, I'm sure you're more into the conversation than I am, but you see it a lot where people complain about Star Wars. But be happy we're getting a Star Wars movie every year. Like,
yeah.
Even though they might not be, comparable to the Golden Three and some of the other ones.
I think we're getting a little oversaturated. We could deal with like one less in the production schedule or something. I don't know. I just think they're hitting us too quick, so we're not appreciating them.
That is true. I mean, I didn't see this till it came out, and that's not like me typically. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what I did. I don't know if you did anything.
I finally saw the. Oh, geez, it's just in my head. Oh, Avengers, the new Avengers movie.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's pretty good, actually. I'm nice. Surprised. I liked
nice.
It.
Nice.
It didn't even have, like, the... That it was going to have a terrible ending, and I was like, ooh, it was a good ending. But everybody has seen that for a really long time now, so I don't need to get into it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, guys, we will end things here. As always, as I say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So you can go ahead and click through and get even more information. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software to subscribe or anything like that, it's just Think Computers, all one word. Until next week, catch you guys later.